It's hard to measure something as intangible as love, but Skip Heitzig says there are some standards we can use to see just how loving we truly are.
We can measure our love for each other by how quick we react to the shortcomings of other people. Do we bear with people? Does that mark us? Are we forbearing individuals? Or do we find a shortcoming and then go after it? You see, love carries burdens. It bears all things.
Make the connection.
Well, it's time to break out the number two pencils and clear your desks. Today in The Connection, we're having a midterm exam on love. While children may measure how much they love someone by how wide they can spread their arms, we'll learn today in Love 101 that there are some other, more tangible ways to measure love. However, this is a pass or fail exam, so listen up and get ready for school as we continue our journey down the royal road of love, right after some last-minute ideas for Christmas.
Think for a minute. At the end of your life, will you look back on possessions or on people?
The way God loves me, that's how I'm going to love you, Jesus says. This rich, beautiful relationship.
Relationships are an intricate part of the fabric of life. They can be fulfilling or they can be full of pain. You need to know the biblical principles that will make your relationships healthy. Learn from the women of the Bible in the new Fresh Life study, Live Relationally, The Women of Genesis. Plus, you can also learn how the stories Jesus shared revealed truths about the kingdom of God in the study Live Deeply, The Parables of Jesus, written by Lenny Heitzig and Penny Rose.
Generally, we go for a relationship, whereas it tends to be that men will say, well, I'm a banker or, you know, whatever it is. It's what I do that defines me. But I find that for women, it's who we love that define us.
This Christmas, you can get both of these new Fresh Life studies for women. Pages of practical instruction for just $20 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. Plus, with every order of $40 or more, we'll also send you a free Connection 2010 calendar featuring photos taken by Skip Heitzig. You'll find all of these offers and more in this year's Connection Christmas catalog, available online at connectionradio.org. Or we can email you a copy when you call 1-800-922-1888.
As we approach the end of the year, I wonder if you'd consider supporting The Connection. That means you'll be part of spreading the solid Bible teaching you hear on this program around the country and around the world. This could simply be a one-time donation or something more ongoing, like a monthly donation. Here's the contact information you'll need. I hope you'll take action today to support The Connection.
And when you get in touch with us, don't forget to ask about how you can be a part of Skip's next teaching tour of Israel, coming up in 2010. Just call 1-800-922-1888 for more details. You know, life is full of tests, and Skip Heitzig says there's none more important than the test of love. So how well do you fare in this all-important aspect of the Christian life? Join us for today's exam and find out.
And make the
As we begin our time today in 1 Corinthians 13, Skip Heitzig says this chapter outlines the one area of a Christian's life where we dare not fail.
Life has a series of examinations. I would call them midterm exams. These are opportunities, pass or fail opportunities, ways to gauge our spiritual growth. We had such a test in Israel. 225 of us went the last couple of weeks. So here you have 225 Christians in a non-Christian environment, in hotels, in shops, in restaurants. And the impression that was left was such a good impression. People who ran the hotels and restaurants said, "Where did you get these people? They're so nice. They're so loving. Did you hand select them?" And if there's one course, if there's one area that we ought to pass and get a straight A in, it's in this area of love. Because Jesus said that the summation of the law was love. He was asked one day by someone, "Master, what is the greatest commandment?" And he said, "That you shall love the Lord your God with all of your soul, all of your heart, all of your mind." That's the greatest and the first commandment. But the second, he said, is like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all of the law and the prophets." But have you found that vertical love, loving God, is much easier than horizontal love? Because God is so perfect, so lovable, and we as humans, after all, are far from perfect and often unlovable, it's harder to love horizontally than it ever is to love vertically. But according to the Bible, you can never separate the two. To love God means you love the objects of God's love. It was a Palm Sunday when a family went to church, all except the little boy. He had strep throat and had to stay home. So the family, when they returned, brought with them some palm branches, which is typical in some churches to give out in commemoration of Palm Sunday. When the little boy who had been home saw the palm branches, he asked what it was all about, and so the mother explained that the people held the palm branches over Jesus' head as he walked by. The little boy's response was classic. He said, "Oh, great. The one time I don't go to church and Jesus shows up." How can you tell if Jesus has shown up in our lives? It's by this wonderful fruit of the Spirit called love. "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." We're going to take a little exam today. I call this message Love 101. A midterm exam. It's not the final. The final comes on Judgment Day. But until then, we can take a little test and examine our own love for one another. Now, I want you to notice in verse 7, that's really where we will camp this morning. Verse 7 and the first part of verse 8. Notice how all-encompassing the description of love is. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. It would be much easier and safer to just apply this verse to God and say, God's love is so comprehensive. God's love endures all things. God is so wonderful in his love. And we could spend all of the time applying this to how God loves people. To do so would be easier, safer. It'd keep us out of the line of fire. But to do so would be to unplug the text from the context. We must apply this to our love for each other. Not God's love for us, but how we love each other. Why? Simply because that is the context. Paul is writing a real letter to a real group called Corinthians who are having trouble loving each other. And because this is exactly what Jesus told us to do. It's part of what he called a new commandment. He said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you ought to love each other just like I love you." So we're going to apply it to ourselves. I admit it's a steep directive, but we must apply this to ourselves. Now, love is probably the toughest course in the Christian curriculum. Because there's an awful lot of times in your life where you will be challenged by people. It'll be very difficult to stare some people in the eyes and say, "I'm going to choose to love you." Everything, every fiber will say, "Don't do it," of your natural being. It's a tough course. And at the end of this service, before we close, I want to give you what I think is a partial reason why some people find it very difficult to love. I read something I want to pass on. When the temple priests 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, the Levites, would watch the temple, they would operate in shifts, just like today we have a morning shift and an evening shift and a graveyard shift. There were shifts or courses of priests who would serve. And the priests that were leaving the temple would greet those who were coming into the temple with these words: "May he who has made his name dwell in this house make love and brotherliness, peace and friendship dwell in your midst." What a wonderful expression to anyone who would serve the Lord. And before we dive into our text this morning and apply this little test, I think we should just pause and ask God to do the same in our fellowship, in our families, in our relationships. Father, we do that. We are now under the bright light of Scripture. Our hearts are open. We sit here exposed before you. You know all things about us. And we pray that love and brotherliness, peace and friendship would be the things that mark us. They'd be in our midst, in our families, our marriages, our friendships, our business relationships, with neighbors that we live across the street from, with friends that we know across the country. May that be true in our church. In Jesus' name, amen. First question on the exam: how strong is your love? The first thing that verse 7 tells us in these pithy little sayings is that love bears all things. Now, I want you to go back to the first century church at Corinth, and let's frame the context. One of the things the Corinthian Christians were not doing, they weren't bearing with each other. There were a few different problems that were going on inside the church. One was competition. They were polarizing around certain spiritual leadership styles. Still happens today. Some would say, "I'm of Paul." Others, "I'm of Apollos." "I'm of Cephas." "I'm of Christ." Just like people today will buy the newest Christian book or gravitate around the teachings of some author or some Bible teacher. And rather than just saying, "Well, praise the Lord, they'll grow up, they'll mature, they'll come to a balance," what the Corinthians were doing is they were reacting to that polarization by finding their own leader to polarize against. So that wasn't bearing with each other, that was overbearing. Not only was there this competition, there was another problem: litigation. You see, Corinthian Christians were taking each other to court. They'd have a disagreement, an argument. Instead of praying about it, humbling themselves, forgiving one another, they'd say, "I'll see you in court, buckaroo." Paul addresses that in chapter 6, verse 7. "Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated?" They weren't bearing with each other, they were battling with each other. So there was competition, there was litigation, there was a third problem: there was separation. There was rampant divorce in the Corinthian church. They found themselves in awkward situations, some of them. In a marriage, one spouse would become a Christian, leaving that spouse married to an unbeliever. And Paul was writing and saying, you shouldn't go out and marry an unbeliever. And so they thought, "Well, I'm already married to one, so I want to dump him or her." Or because there was an incompatibility, problems in the marriage, they were looking for any loophole. And Paul addresses that issue in chapter 7, and he says, "Remain in the same calling in which you were called. If you have a wife, don't end the marriage." They weren't bearing with each other, they were bailing from each other. In all of these situations that I mentioned, you have a first century church that was giving sinful reactions to others' sinful actions. They were going down to that low level. So somebody thought, "I have a superior theological position than you do because I'm of Paul." And instead of saying, "Ah, praise God," they were saying, "Hey, my position is more superior than yours." They were fighting. If there was an anger issue between two brothers. Instead of just forgiving it and letting the wrong go, they were taking each other to court, etc. These were sinful reactions to sinful actions. So we can measure our love for each other by how quick we react to the shortcomings of other people. Do we bear with people? Does that mark us? Are we forbearing individuals? Or do we find a shortcoming and then go after it? You see, love carries burdens. It bears all things. That's what Isaiah predicted of Jesus Christ. Surely he has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. Peter noted that about the Savior. He said when Jesus was reviled, he didn't revile again. He didn't pay them back, but he committed himself to the one who judges righteously. He let it go. He was bearing. Forbearing with one another in love. I read a story about a little girl who, you got to picture the scene in your mind. She was standing over a bulldog and she was growling at it. And when her mom reprimanded her, the little girl said, "Well, he started it." Which may be true. I mean, that's the nature of a bulldog, but will she accomplish anything reducing herself to the level of the bulldog? No. Neither will we. If somebody who is weaker gives off some kind of unspiritual vibe or acts sinfully toward us, we don't need to go down to that level. Take the high road. Romans 15, verse 1, we who are strong in the faith should bear with the failings of the weak. Galatians 6, 2 tells us, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we were in Israel, our last day, actually the day we were flying back, we celebrated our anniversary, my wife and I. We've been married now 20 years. And thank you. And the last night that we were together with the group, they gave us a surprise anniversary party. And our tour guide and his wife brought in a cake. Happy anniversary. Well, they wanted us to take pictures and cut the cake and actually feed the cake to each other like the marriage. And I tell you, when my wife held the cake in her hands, it was a flashback. I thought of 20 years previously. And I remember her holding that cake on our wedding day right up to my mouth, and she gave that little impish smile, which I thought, uh-oh, here goes. But she didn't do it. On our wedding day, she just nicely fed it into my mouth. But as I stood there on our 20th anniversary, I thought, now it's been 20 years. And it's payback time. And I thought, surely she's just going to go, whoosh. But she didn't do it. Because love bears all things. So how strong is your love? Second question on the exam, how trusting is your love? Love believes all things. Now that doesn't mean if you love somebody, you're gullible. It means that love isn't quick to be cynical or scornful or suspicious. You know, there are some people who automatically, their first response when they hear some bit of news about somebody else is to quickly bring it to the lowest possible level, to judge the motives. Say, yeah, right. Scornful attitude. When you love somebody, you'll believe them quicker than you will berate them. Now, I admit, I understand, I know that love can be broken. There are relationships that can erode to the point where trust is absolutely shattered. But when you love somebody, which is a choice more than a feeling so many times, when you love someone, you make the same choice that the American jurisprudence system makes with a criminal, innocent till proven guilty, rather than saying, I know you're guilty. No, you are innocent until you are proven guilty. Love makes that choice. So we can measure, once again, our love by how quick we are to cover a person's wrongdoings or expose them. When your child does something wrong, as a parent, if your child does something wrong in public, because you love your child, you want to put the best face on it. You'll go to the person and go, look, he's just a kid. He didn't mean it. He didn't mean to say that. But if somebody you don't like does the same thing, you'll spin it differently. Oh, I knew he'd do that. That's just like Skip. There was a boy that came from a very poor home. His clothes were pretty shabby. In fact, most of his pants had patches on them. The teachers at school, he got along with great, but there was one favorite teacher. He loved her. And when they asked him about, why do you love her so much? He said, because she's so interested in me. She doesn't seem to see my patches. That's love. Love believes all things. Doesn't look at the patches. That's how Jesus loved people. Jesus looked at people through the eyes of love, believing the highest. For instance, the first time he met Nathanael, who said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? First time Jesus met him, he said, Nathanael, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. When he met Simon, he renamed him Peter. Now, Simon Peter was the apostle of shifting sand, unreliable. But Jesus looks at him and gives him a new name. I'm going to call you Rocky. Petros, a rock. He saw the potential. Or how about Levi, the tax collector? Levi indicates that he was probably from the priestly family. He should have been working in the temple, but he was a renegade. He now works for the Roman government, ripping off the Jewish people. Jesus meets him and says, I'm not going to call you ripoff. I'm going to call you a gift, Matthew. Love sees the potential.
Which is true of you? Do you believe the best about people, or do you always assume the worst? The answer will give you a good indicator as to how well you're doing in this test called love. Well, Christmas is just a week away, so we thought now might be a good time to remind you about the special offers from Skip Heitzig that we have available that you can stuff in stockings or place under the tree, but only if you place your order by tomorrow. Otherwise, it might not get there in time. Let's find out more.
There was a time in the 1960s where everyone sang about love and how we all needed to just get along. And how did that work out? During the Christmas season, we sing about peace on earth and goodwill towards men. However, the desires for peace and love of the 60s didn't last, nor do the feelings of goodwill during the Christmas season. Despite our desire for good relationships, there seems to be a huge lack of understanding in how to make relationships work. This Christmas, share some relationship advice straight from the Bible with Beyond the Summer of Love, Relationships in the Real World by Skip Heitzig.
We can measure our love for each other by how quick we react to the shortcomings of other people. Do we bear with people? Does that mark us? Are we forbearing individuals? Or do we find a shortcoming and then go after it? You see, love carries burdens. It bears all things.
You can order this re-release of Skip's book, Relationships, Connecting the Knots in the Threads of Life, along with his book, Encounter, for just $15 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And if you're looking for something a bit more in-depth from Skip Heitzig this Christmas, order one of his teaching series like Church, Who Needs It? Or The Biography of God. They're available at a special price for the holiday season. Plus, with every order of $40 or more, we'll also send you a free Connection 2010 calendar featuring photos taken by Skip Heitzig. See all of these great gifts we have available this Christmas, including the Connection Christmas CD, As Stars Shine Bright, which is what you're listening to now when you browse our Christmas catalog at connectionradio.org.
Oh, holy night, stars are brightly shining.
Get your copy when you call 1-800-922-1888.
Well, time is of the essence as Christmas is rapidly approaching. So find out more on the web at connectionradio.org. That's all the time we have for today. But if you'd like to take this midterm exam home with you, give us a call. 1-800-922-1888. Each copy is just $6, so call us today or come by our e-commerce store at connectionradio.org. We also have this series, The Royal Road of Love, available for you to order, just in case you've missed any of Skip's teachings that we've covered so far. So whether you need the entire series or just today's teaching, give us a call at 1-800-922-1888 or visit us on the web at connectionradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you, and thanks again for joining us here on The Connection.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross, and study the Word of God, and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
We'll cover the second half of this midterm exam on love next time, so join us then and find out just how well you fare in this essential aspect of the Christian life. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.